This Pro-Liberty podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store. Visit healthrangerstore.com/MAGA. That's M-A-G-A, like Make America Great Again. Thank you for your support. Well, today we are grieving for the students of Emory University. These poor students, God bless them. They have suffered extreme trauma, you see. They were walking along campus and they came across messages written in chalk. I know, the horror, in chalk on their campus. And some of these messages said, Trump 2016. I know. It's horrific. It's probably the worst thing that can happen to a human being anywhere on the planet, right? It's horrible. And these students, their lives have been shattered. And the Emory University student government has pledged emergency funding to help those who are, quote, in pain over the Trump chalking incident. Yes, the Trump chalking incident, because these students said they felt frustration and fear. They were traumatized by these messages. Now, this is a story from campusreform.org, which is a great website, very informative, to show you what's happening on campuses, on campi, I guess, today. My name is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I couldn't help but comment on this because, you know, look, a lot of people listening to this have followed me for over 10 years, and we have all watched the world change before our very eyes in the most unbelievable, astonishing, and insane, deranged ways. And this is one of them, that now colleges have become these, what do you call them? These fiefdoms of political correctness and safety nets and sort of cry-bully intolerance, if you will. Here's a quote from this story. One student said, quote, I'm supposed to feel comfortable and safe here, meaning at the university. But this man is being supported by students on our campus, and our administration shows that they, by their silence, support it as well. I don't deserve to feel afraid at my school. End quote. Yes, indeed, this is the way students feel. They think they're going to the university to feel comfortable and safe. Yeah, comfortable and safe. No, they're not there to be intellectually challenged. They're not there to mature and grow into adults. They're not there to explore opposing ideas, to debate anyone, to even expand their understanding of human culture, of human politics, of society. None of that. They are there to have a giant campus-wide cognitive circle jerk with people who believe exactly the same things they do, and to feel comfortable and safe. And if anyone disagrees with the things that they believe that they're circle jerking onto each other, then that is intolerant and bigoted and racist. Right? So just the mere mention of the name Trump is traumatizing to these students. That's right. They can't handle words. Yep, they can't handle words, which makes you wonder how they're ever going to handle jobs in the real world if they ever graduate, right? Because, let's face it, the world is full of adversity. The world is full of challenges. The world is full of people who don't see the world the way you do. People who disagree. People who might even condemn you for your beliefs. People who might try to get you fired from your job. For all kinds of different reasons. You're going to be challenged. You're going to be hoodwinked. There are con artists and hucksters and fraudsters. And that's just the cancer industry I'm talking about. There are people in society who are going to try to screw you over, who are going to try to twist things, who are going to try to take your money, who are going to try to screw you out of everything you have. And yet our universities and colleges across America are producing students who are so pathetically fragile that they cannot handle even the word of someone who they believe is bigoted, but who actually isn't. Trump just wants to stop the illegal immigration, build a wall, control the borders, have national security. And this is portrayed as bigoted and racist and mean and fearful. And, oh, hate. They always use the word hate. And anytime one of these pathetic, coddled students, crybullies, if you will, anytime that, someone says anything to them that challenges their belief system, that is immediately labeled hate. So if you go to a college campus and you say, huh, I think competition is good for society and that winners should be rewarded more than losers. I'm just taking this as an example because this is the kind of thing Trump says. That statement is considered hate by today's millennial college students. Yes, they consider it to be hate. They will be traumatized by hearing those words. Absolutely traumatized. Because they're so intellectually fragile and indoctrinated, totally brainwashed, right? And they even have the administration of these colleges working in their favor. The here it is, the Emory University Student Government Association and the College Council released a joint statement Tuesday saying that, quote, the messages, that this is the Trump chalking incident, quote, the messages represent particularly bigoted opinions, policies, and rhetoric. This is the official position of the Student Government Association, which of course is staffed by a bunch of pathetic circle-jerking losers who have no chance whatsoever of surviving in the real world. Once they leave that university, they're flipping burgers for the rest of their lives because they have no ability to adapt to society. If they think society operates the way their university operates, they're in for a big freaking shock, right? Big surprise. Hey, you're not a precious little snowflake, and we're not going to change your diapers out in the real world. No. In fact, maybe Emory University should include free Pampers in every dormitory and fraternity, because I think these students have to change their diapers very, very frequently. I mean, they could be walking down the sidewalk. They could see, you know, Trump 2016. Oh, my God, they have to change their diapers. And they could be, they get a clean set of diapers on, and they walk down another sidewalk, and they see Ted Cruz for president. Oh, my gosh, and they change their diapers again. There's no end to it. How many diapers can they go through? That's why the university should obviously provide diapers for free, because anything other than that would be bigoted. Who can argue against free diapers for students? So I remember when I went to college, there were all kinds of messages all over the place. You would have the bulletin boards and all kinds of different things posted there. You know, students had different kinds of messages and different clubs and different organizations and different speeches by different comedians, and controversial figures would come to campus and speak. They don't do that anymore. They're disinvited. University presidents are being forced to resign for allowing people to come speak on campus who have ideas that differ from those of the indoctrinated liberal campus professors and students. In other words, they've created a campus of circular reasoning, that things are the way they are because all the people around us say they are, and we cannot allow anybody outside of this university to talk to us because their ideas might be threatening and harmful and hurtful and hateful and bigoted and racist, and therefore we do not allow them to speak to us, which is why our ideas make so much sense to each other. This is the way they think. And so they have no one challenges their thinking, and they're not willing to think outside their little boxes, which are very, very tiny and full of dirty diapers, by the way. They cannot adapt. They have no cognitive flexibility, and they have no concept of society, of how society really thinks. Believe me, most of the country is laughing so hard at these crybully students and their diaper habits and how they're saying that they're so traumatized by someone having written words in chalk on the sidewalk. Here's another a student named Jeffrey Tucker. Wait a minute, this is a libertarian writer named Jeffrey Tucker. All right, and he said, quote, "It was like a cross burning." He's referring to the Trump chalking incident. "It was like a cross burning. It was on private property. It was extremely damaging." like what, to his psyche? Did he have to change his Pampers? "And the students and faculty were totally embarrassed. It was absolutely intended to intimidate everyone, and it worked." This is Jeffrey Tucker. So they are intimidated by chalk, basically, is what they're saying. So, and again, they have no concept of reality, and they're completely delusional, and they're living in these little protected artificial safe spaces where none of them are challenged on any ideas, and none of them are growing, expanding, maturing, nothing. So they're just these, what do you call them? These protected little delusional children who happen to inhabit the bodies of young adults, but their minds are still like six-year-olds. And they cannot handle any single idea that is not already accepted by their clique or their cult, if you will. They have to reinforce each other with their delusions, and anyone who challenges that is considered immediately an enemy who must be disparaged and attacked. And by the way, they call this tolerance, these students, you see. They ridiculously believe that they are the tolerant ones. Yes, they are tolerant, for sure, of only their own ideas. That's what they think tolerance means. Because anybody else comes in and says something different, like, "Hey, did you notice that all the terror bombings are carried out by Islamic radicals, right?" These students would immediately, their jaws would drop to the floor, they would gasp, and they would have to change their diapers again. And then they would say, "That's intolerant. That's full of hate. That's full of bigotry." Even though you're actually just stating a fact, an actual fact, there's no bigotry, is there? I mean, if someone comes to your house and kicks in your door, sets fire to it, commits arson, burns your house down, and let's say that person happens to be a Vulcan from planet Vulcan, if you say, "A Vulcan burned down my house," is that bigoted? No, it's an observation. It's a statement of observation. It's not bigoted to state a fact, and yet that's what they think. They think to even mention the religious beliefs of radical terrorists is bigoted. They think to even mention skin color is bigoted, unless you're attacking white people, in which case that's totally okay with them, because the college students, they are anti-white. They actually are the racist, and they are bigoted against all white people. And they are bigoted against Christianity, and they are bigoted and racist and intolerant in their thinking, because they don't accept people for their ideas. They judge people on the color of their skin, and they judge people on whether or not they speak libtard talk. You know what libtard speak is? It's kind of like modern day politically correct doublespeak. Libtards have their own language. They throw in the word equality every few words. "We must have equality on the campus, and we must all uplift each other with equality." And it's all about everything being equal, which means they hate diversity, because diversity means things are different. Diversity means that lots of different ideas exist on a spectrum of ideas. Lots of different cultures exist on a spectrum of cultures, and so on and so forth. But they hate that. They want equality. And equality, economically speaking, is communism. And they love that idea. They love communism because they think that's equality. And it's safe. Everybody's safe because everybody's equal. There's no competition. There's no winners. There's no losers. Except they're all losers, aren't they? They're all pathetic, diaper-changing losers who probably need to go to Sam's Club and load up on another cart full of bulk diapers as we speak. Now, I got to tell you, as an employer, you know, I'm a very accomplished entrepreneur, and I create lots and lots of job opportunities. I hire people. I fire people. I create economic opportunities in many different states in the United States and even globally for that matter. And I would never hire a student from today's campuses who reflected any of this kind of language. If they come to a job and they start talking about, we want equality and a safe space, I'm like, go back to college, see if you can maybe go for a master's degree or something, because if you want to feel safe and protected, then you're not ready for a job, because a job is going to challenge you. And the adversity that you encounter in a job is going to require that you don't have a fragile psyche that's easily traumatized. You need to be able to overcome adversity and obstacles that are thrown in your way. Otherwise, you'll never succeed in anything in the real world unless you live in a communist regime nation. But that's what they want, you see, because in communism, they don't have to work. Everybody is equal. In other words, equally impoverished. Everybody is equally censored in a police state, because communism is always a totalitarian regime. I mean, look at North Korea. Look at Cuba. Look at Venezuela. Well, not really communism in Venezuela, but socialism, sort of on the spectrum to communism. Look at East Berlin before the fall of the Berlin Wall. Look at the former Soviet Union. These are great examples of communism where everyone was equal and they were all impoverished and they had no individual liberty, no freedom. But that's what these students want, because they're pathetic, indoctrinated morons. They have no understanding of history. They don't know anything about how society really operates. And they've been indoctrinated with all this fear and this sort of self-triggered traumatization from just seeing a word that triggers them into a state of abject fear. Oh my God. I was at the University of Austin, or University of Texas, Austin campus during one of the gun march protests, where some guys were carrying their rifles, open carry, which is legal in Texas, and they decided to just walk around near campus carrying their rifles quite peacefully, actually. It was mostly pretty boring. And I was trying to find the guys with the rifles because I wanted to interview one of them. And I encountered this, what do you call it? A millennial libtard student who was physically shaking with fear. And he was dialing the police. And he called the police and he told them, there's men with guns. Men with guns everywhere. And I was like, oh, thanks, because I was looking for those guys. Thank you. Good luck with that phone call. Because, of course, the police had already been alerted to this peaceful walk, this peaceful, you know, open carry demonstration is all it was. The cops were totally cool. The cops were more worried about the students than they were the guys carrying the rifles, because they know the guys with the rifles are mature adults, whereas the students are pathetic, unpredictable, delusional, you know, traumatized libtards who are, you have no idea what they're going to do, because they have no self-control. They have no maturity. They have no knowledge of the real world. Meanwhile, the guys with the rifles are just calmly walking down the street, doing interviews, talking to the press. Everything's cool. But the student was just shivering and shaking with like visceral fear. Could not even control his body. I'm surprised he could dial 911 for that matter. Shaking with fear. Why? Because men with guns had invaded his sacred safe space. Even though, of course, it's a public sidewalk in the middle of a public city following a public law that is legal in Texas, this student was freaked out. And it's just a great example of the kind of fragile psyche that our today's universities are now producing, which brings me to the conclusion of this little talk, which is that, you know, when I went to college, we actually learned something. Our professors challenged us. They challenged us. We would say something in class, and they would argue with us. And that was good. That's the way it's supposed to be. I had an economics professor, Japanese. He was a brilliant professor, but I couldn't understand what he was saying most of the time. His accent was very strong. In other words, his English was hard to understand because of his Japanese pronunciation of English. And, you know, about halfway through the semester, I wasn't doing so well in the class, and I asked him, I said, you know, Mr. Ishizawa, that was his name, what can I do to, you know, boost my grade in this class? And he said, well, what do you know how to do? You know, what are your skills? I said, well, I know computers. I can write computer code. I'm good with math. I'm good with numbers. And he said, why don't you write software for an economic simulator to draw out supply-demand curves, import-export curves, and the curve modifications that happen when you have government subsidies on imports or exports or government tariffs on imports or exports, and then I'll give you an A. And so I did. I spent a few weeks. I wrote the software. I built the simulator. I brought it in. I showed him, and he gave me a bonus. And so I got a good grade, but only because he challenged me. He challenged me to do something that I wasn't planning on doing and forced me to grow, forced me to really understand supply and demand, import, export, tariffs, subsidies, all these things, and actually write it into the software and show him on the screen the charts. And this was actually a fairly complex thing back in when I was in college, you know, a generation ago. And actually, there weren't a lot of computers at that time. So this was not a small deal. But he challenged me, and I remember having English literature professors who we would be doing analysis of books in class, fiction analysis. I think one of the books that we actually analyzed in one class was Catch 22. And so, you know, we were required to read the book and then, of course, analyze it and then debate it in class. And so when you're debating, you have other students that are calling you out and saying, you're full of crap. And you're challenging them back and you're saying, no, you're full of crap. Here's what the author really meant, or here's what this character is all about. And the teacher, the professor, is challenging you, and you're even sometimes arguing with the professor in a polite way, a respectful way, but you're not just blindly agreeing with everything the professor says. Not at all. You are challenging them and they're challenging you. Now that's the way it was when I went to the university, and maybe that's why I actually learned something there. Maybe that's why I've been so productive ever since. Maybe that's why I've gone on to launch many, many successful ventures that have helped millions of people in different ways. If I had gone to a university that was a safe space where I was never challenged, where I never had the opportunity to grow, where no one ever intellectually stimulated me, then I would just be, you know, like these millennials today, a bunch of pathetic losers who are going to be flipping burgers and changing diapers for the rest of their lives, because those are the only skills they have. They get degrees in things that don't matter. What, gender studies? Are you kidding me? What are you going to do? You're going to get a job studying genders? Of course not. There are no such jobs except at universities to teach gender studies. That's it. It again, it's an intellectual circle jerk with these people. it's insane. A university is supposed to teach you something and challenge you and force you to grow and effectively give you skills, or at least thinking skills, a thinking process that you can apply to the rest of your life to be a productive member of society, not just a pathetic crybully pansy who blames everyone else for their own problems. So I fear not chalk on a sidewalk. I don't care what someone writes in chalk on a sidewalk. They write whatever they want. Jeez. I mean, it's First Amendment. You write whatever the heck you want. I don't care. That doesn't faze me. I'm more fazed by this generation of losers that's coming out of the colleges today. And I'm wondering, how is society going to offer them something useful to do since they don't know how to do anything? I mean, you're looking at future Soylent Green, okay? These students have, by and large, I know there are some exceptions, but by and large, they have nothing to offer society. They have no skills. They can't think. They can't do math. They can't read. They can't write. Nothing. All they know how to do is complain and protest and whine. Yeah, they can march in solidarity against the bigots who are challenging them to think for themselves. They can do that. They know how to play the victim role. They're very good at that. Basically, today's colleges are nothing more than victimization training. And yeah, they can invoke their cry-bully skills to whine and cry and claim they're the victims and then attack you and assault you and call you a racist and a bigot, shove you, and have you, you know, beat up by bullies if they can find enough. Those are their skills, which means they're good for nothing other than government. Yes, they can run a communist society. And not coincidentally, that's exactly what they want. They want to create a communist society and then run it. Because in communism, they don't have to have skills that do anything. They don't have to have ideas that work. The wonderful thing in their minds about communism is that communism never has to produce results. Everybody's equal, so there's no losers. And if you work in government, your ideas never have to work. You're never fired for having bad ideas. You're never punished. Usually you get a raise because someone has to solve the problems that you created. So they need more government, which means there's more money for your department. Government is mostly in the business of creating problems and then taking people's money to try to solve them, but failing to do so because of widespread incompetence, thereby creating even bigger problems that require confiscating even more money. And this is what today's college students are perfectly suited to do. This is why they will love to go into positions of government where the quality of their ideas doesn't matter. You can survive in government with the dumbest, most insanely delusional and failed ideas ever, because government never has to really work, because it's a system of coercion. It's forced upon everybody. It's gunpoint policy, or gunpoint economic policy, if you will. You just confiscate money from people. And if you're in government, you take a slice of that money, and then you give some of it back to other people to make sure they vote for you. That's your role. Take money from the productive members of society, siphon off your little piece because you're a parasite, and then give the rest of the money to the voters to keep you in power. That is what these college students are really being trained for, to be totalitarian bureaucrats. That's their training. That's their indoctrination. They don't have skills. They don't have ideas that work. They don't understand economics. They have no clue about history. They don't understand society. They don't even understand the three branches of government, for that matter. They have no knowledge whatsoever of how society really operates, or the Bill of Rights, the fundamental laws of human freedom, individual liberties, you know, the Constitution, the Revolutionary War, the Declaration of Independence, the Civil War, you know, nothing. They have no knowledge of any of this stuff. All they know is that if they're walking down the sidewalk and they see the word Trump written in chalk, they are traumatized and they need financial aid from the Student Government Association to help them through that trauma because they are terrified by chalk. Yes, yes, indeed. What hope is there really for these millennials? I'm not even sure. Just glad that I got through college when college actually offered an education and wasn't just daycare for diaper-dependent crybullies. Thanks for listening. My name's Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. You can hear my podcast at healthrangerreport.com. And if you really want to freak out students, take a piece of chalk and write Health Ranger on campus and see how many people freak out. That would be funny. Thanks and take care. I know you have a lot of choices of where to get your superfoods and supplements, personal care products, and so on. To find all these solutions and more, just go to healthrangerstore.com/MAGA, M-A-G-A. healthrangerstore.com/MAGA, as in Make America Great Again. You'll find hundreds of solutions there that can enhance and help protect your health. Again, that's healthrangerstore.com/MAGA. At the Health Ranger Store, we are a pro-liberty, pro-life, pro-freedom, pro-America manufacturer and direct distributor. We sell direct to customers, offering extraordinary values on these products. Lab tested and verified, we test all of our products for bacteria, E. coli, salmonella, yeast and mold, heavy metals, lead, cadmium, arsenic, mercury, much more. Also glyphosate and herbicide and other pesticides and herbicides are being added to our testing procedure to make sure that we bring you safe, verified, clean supplements that you just don't get anywhere else. I mean, Amazon.com is a joke compared to us. The Wall Street Journal even did a story exposing the thousands of contaminated, illegal, banned, toxic supplements and products that Amazon sells. We wouldn't sell that because we have ethics, we have morality, we're honest, we have integrity as a manufacturer and a provider of these products. Check us out, healthrangerstore.com. Over 700 different products are available right now. High-end supplements, superfoods, personal care products, even fragrance-free products that are eco-friendly for your home, such as laundry detergent, body soap, dishwasher detergent, and many other products. You'll find just an incredible assortment at healthrangerstore.com. And most importantly, your purchases there help support our ongoing efforts to spread the message of liberty and freedom and pro-life, respecting life in all its forms, and having a nation and a world that operates with ethics and morality so that we might have a sustainable human civilization, not one that's collapsing in destitution and suffering, which is what the radical left and the communists want to bring about. So support us, and we support humanity. HealthRangerStore.com. I thank you for your support.